This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police still trying to come up with a solid motive for the shooting and fire set at an LDS church in Michigan on Sunday morning. Four people were killed when the gunman drove his truck into the church, opened fire with a high-powered rifle, and then set the building ablaze. Trapped in North Carolina when a gunman opened fire on people sitting at a pier along a river. The gunman was taking aim from a boat, says this witness, Steve Emmons.
He was, really was shooting fish in a barrel. Because if you ever look out there, it's a pier, where the end is, and his boat was right out there, and there's nowhere for anybody to go.
There are three people killed, at least five hurt. Democratic and Republican congressional leaders headed to the White House this afternoon in a last-ditch effort to avoid a government shutdown. Both sides have shown hardly any willingness to budge. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Jimmy Kuska. Last month, thousands of gallons of crude oil spilled when a train derailed in Dodge County, and it made Civic Media's Parker Olson ask, how often do trains derail in Wisconsin and why?
Oftentimes, these derailments happen in or close to populated areas. The National League of Cities says that two-thirds of all rail accidents happen within cities. That's because in and around those urban areas, the track is more curves and turns. That's when there's a higher chance of something going wrong.
When things go bad, they go really bad.
That's Mark Burrows, a retired locomotive engineer and the editor of the Railroad Workers United newsletter. According to him, train derailments have a few primary causes.
Inspection of the rolling stock, inspection of the tracks, the ridiculously long and heavy freight trains, and insufficient training.
Burrows also says jobs have been cut over the years, making crews smaller, all while trains get longer. Some trains are well over a mile and a half long, posing a challenge for crews that often are just an engineer and a conductor. That's an issue of its own, cuts to crew size and jobs in general. Our research found that there have been 45 derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. The cause of 21 of them is reported to be human factor, but Burrows warns that the decline in jobs, crew size, and a de-skilling of workers is a reason for many human-caused derailments. Accident reports on the Federal Railroad Administration's website show that 6 of the 7 derailments within Superior city limits were caused by humans. None of those derailments had more than 2 crew members. In the past, crews were oftentimes at least 4 workers. Burrows also claims that track-caused derailments can often be attributed to fewer workers who need to inspect more rail track and having less time to do it than in the past. There have been 15 track-caused derailments in Wisconsin since 2023. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
Final score, 40-40. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cowboys and the Packers battled through overtime, only to have the game end in a 40-40 tie. It was Micah Parsons' first game back against the Cowboys. What was his reaction to the draw?
I'm not even gonna lie, I'm pissed off. I'm very disappointed. I even told Jordan to the side, thank you for having our back today.
So the Packers are now 2-1-1 heading into their bye. Did the Packers do anything different? I asked Cowboys defensive lineman Kenny Clark.
Yeah, it was all the same. Same stuff we expected. 1-2-1 is way better than 1-3.
Baseball, the Brewers beat the Reds 4-2, and now they wait to find out who they'll face in the playoffs. When did they realize that they had turned the season around?
We were going to lose our third game in a row, I believe, in Pittsburgh on a dreary, cold day, and we had 3-0-2 doubles. It was a grinder day, and then since then, I don't know what our record was, but it was really, really darn good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, more the same, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer about the newest candidate for Wisconsin governor and Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital on the approaching government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, after the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we talk about things outside of the news so we can all catch a breath. Today is National Coffee Day, Greg Bach.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to talk about, do you drink coffee? How much coffee do you drink? Coffee prices are up 20% right now. Will you be changing your coffee habits anytime soon? Maybe you don't drink coffee. I know Pat's producer, Pat Kreitlow's producer, Parker, they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He doesn't drink coffee. He drinks water.
The youth.
The youths.
Kids.
The youths. Well, so we're gonna be talking about coffee later on this hour in Audio Sorbet, and then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Cover Me edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, we are delighted to be joined by our next guest. He is with UW-Madison. David Drake is here. I call him my bird buddy, but he is all things with wildlife and outdoor things. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. And I have never drank one cup of coffee in my life.
Never?
Never.
Never, ever.
Never, ever, ever. I don't drink hot drinks. Typically, even in the winter, I don't drink hot cocoa.
Okay, all right. I know we're going to talk about birds and the environment. Yeah. That's great. But can we? Okay. And
we're going to examine you now, David.
I get my brain around the because I didn't start drinking coffee until much later in my life. So I understand that. But you don't do hot drinks at all? Like,
No hot drinks.
Have you ever? No. I know it doesn't qualify as a drink, but doesn't. But it also, you can eat it in a cup. Soup?
Oh, I will eat soup.
Okay.
Or slurp, however you want to verb that.
So he does drink hot drinks.
Well, maybe
it's not. Soup is not. Soup does not qualify as a drink.
No. I totally
the
expect you to take a side.
The closest thing I get to hot drinks probably is drinking scotch in the winter.
Okay. Fair enough. It makes you warm inside.
100%.
I am.
So even, I mean, when you went to college and stuff, you never felt the need for caffeine. Nothing.
No, because I never studied in college, so I didn't need to stay awake. So. No, I was not a model student in college, but do not follow my lead.
Follow his path. That's really funny.
Yes.
Well, again, we're talking all things coffee after 10:30, so stick around for that. You can be like Dave. I mean, coffee is not good for you.
It's not. Well, it's like anything else. It's in moderation. If you drink a cup or two a day, I don't think anyone's really going to have a problem with it. It's Like, I had a friend who drank so much coffee and his body became so used to it that when he didn't have enough needed in a certain point in the morning, he'd get a headache.
That used to happen to me.
So that's a problem.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, we're talking all things coffee after 10:30 for Audio Sorbet. Right now, we're talking about birds. We're talking about ducks. And this is a serious thing, quite honestly. Green Bay area ducks from the Wisconsin Examiner, Green Bay area ducks contaminated with PFAS, and so now they are limiting consumption. Tell us about that, David.
Yeah, so maybe we'll back up for just a minute. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of the acronym PFAS, mm-hmm. And may not exactly know what it's all about. So let's give a little background on that if we can quickly. So PFAS is PFAS. It stands for perfluoroalkyl or polyfluoroalkyl substances. They are a human-made chemical. They've been around since World War II, and they were initially created as part of the Manhattan Project, which was the atomic bomb project to help us end World War II. And since then, they've been commercialized primarily by DuPont, but there's other companies that have certainly taken up PFAS for commercialization. And depending on the use of PFAS and the state, some uses of PFAS have been outlawed. But again, it depends on the use in the state. But they're called a forever chemical, PFAS, because they don't break down and they don't degenerate. And they were now used commercially. They're used primarily for heat, grease, and water-resistant properties. So two very common uses of PFAS that people are probably familiar with is one is Teflon. So mm-hmm. any Teflon-coated cooking ware contains PFAS. It's also a main component in firefighting foam.
Right.
And so a mm-hmm. lot of times, especially at airports, where you've got perhaps chemicals that are not going to be extinguished by water, they'll use that firefighting foam to kind of suck out the oxygen from that fire. But the other thing about PFAS is not only are they a forever chemical, but they travel quite well through water. So they're in groundwater. PFAS are in groundwater quite commonly. They are also linked pretty directly to a lot of chronic diseases, especially some cancers.
Yes.
So it's a real issue. It is a real issue. And there's some suggestion that every American has some level of PFAS in their body already, just simply because we've been so exposed to them in so many different types of ways. And so, yeah, so that's the background in PFAS. Now to get back to the wildlife issue is, again, because PFAS is found in soil, but it also, it travels very well in water, especially groundwater. And so the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources just issued a health advisory to not eat mallard ducks, which is a native species of duck, and not eat wood ducks, another native species of duck, in the lower Green Bay area. And in the lower Green Bay area.
Is it just specific to that area, David? It is just specific to that lower Green Bay area?
It is for those two species of ducks, but the DNR also just issued a food advisory for Oneida County for some fish species, and they're suggesting the Moen Lake Chain, M-O-E-N Lake Chain, to not eat any fish out of that lake chain at all right now. They also have an advisory for not eating deer liver, around Stella, the town of Stella, which mm-hmm. I believe is in Oneida County. And obviously, you know, the liver is kind of the filter of the body, mm-hmm. so that would make sense as to why it's accumulated in the body. But a lot of animals that are higher up on the trophic level or higher up on the food chain have PFAS because PFAS bioaccumulates. So what's happening with those ducks, I'm sure, is number one, they're in the water. And so if they're drinking any of that water, mm-hmm. they're probably consuming it that way. But they're also both wood ducks and mallards are herbivores. So they're eating the plant life that's on that water, and that plant life is absorbing the PFAS in the water. And I'm sure that's how it's getting into the ducks that way. And so, so anything that eats a duck, you know, that's above the duck on the food chain is going to consume that PFAS as well. And so they're issuing health advisories about that. And the other thing I'll just point out quickly is, I know people are concerned about this, rightfully so. And if you are concerned about just PFAS contamination or PFAS exposure or where it is in the landscape, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has a very good website that will track PFAS exposure throughout Wisconsin. They also issue the health advisories. So you can go to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and you can see the health advisories for the areas of the state, what to eat, what not to eat, things of that nature.
I've got it right here. If you're just joining us, by the way, on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking to David Drake, who is a professor from UW-Madison, a wildlife expert, and we're talking about PFAS in our ducks and other animals. And something, and whether or not, I don't know what you know about this, David, is just the fact that when people talk about this topic, PFAS, they might say, well, these are necessary things for our products to do the thing, and well, what can we do? We don't need these PFAS because Minnesota has outlawed them. So there are other ways of achieving these products or doing what we need to do without these forever chemicals as well. So it's actually up to our lawmakers to look at the law or look at the situations and say, all right, what can we do next? That's a whole other conversation about talking to your lawmakers. But I just want to make it clear that PFAS aren't a necessary evil. They can be prevented. They don't have to be used.
And there can be substitutes.
There can be substitutes. Mm-hmm. And speaking to the tracking website, I will have that tracking website in the show notes today from the Wisconsin DNR. So everyone who, honestly, it doesn't even matter where you live in Wisconsin, just check it out because you never know. It's if they're using them, they're going to be everywhere. Just check it out. Make sure you're keeping yourself safe.
Well, and from what I understand also, David, that one of the problems with PFAS is we don't have an effective way to filter them right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So let me just back up also. Greg said I'm a wildlife expert, and that is true. I am not a chemical expert. I am not an environmental toxicologist and things like that. So, you know, the PFAS, this is some information I've done some research on in preparation for the show and
sure.
And just general knowledge of being aware of PFAS, but please do educate yourself and do not take what I say about PFAS for the faith, because I am not an expert on that. So I just want to caution about that.
Understood.
Sure.
But yes, Greg, my understanding is that there are substitute chemicals. So substitute products. So, you know, for example, like we don't use Teflon, in our cookingware in our house. And it's just simply, it's partly for health reasons. It's just simply because I think we found some pans that I think cook better.
Sure.
So there are some substitutes that actually work better. PFAS is in a lot of water resistant clothing, for example.
Mm.
So there's different ways of finding some clothing that may be a substitute for sure. You know, as you get into some of the more specific chemical uses, again, like firefighting foam, I'm not sure what a substitute is for that to put that fire out, but
right.
I'm assuming there would be something. I just don't know what it would be. But yeah, I think if you want to be careful, you can make good consumer choices and just do a little research and find out, you know, but if it's not PFAS, it's, PCBs or it's mm-hmm. heavy metals or
microplastics,
CWD, yeah. right?
Yeah.
You know, chronic wasting disease.
Pick your poison, you know, but we have a history of this. You know, we went through this with DDT back in the 50s and 60s and then finally outlawed that in the United States in the 70s. And there's bans on salmon. You know, you're only supposed to eat, I think, one or two salmon a month, depending on where you are up and down the Lake Michigan coast, because of heavy metals like mercury and PCBs. So this idea about having food advisories, unfortunately, is not new. It's just a matter of making sure you're aware of them and educating yourself about them if you're going to consume food off the landscape.
In the 60s, when I was growing up, they used to send a truck through my hometown, which was tiny, to spray for mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And we used to run behind it. And everything is fine except for that third eye in the back of my head. There's nothing to worry about or see. It's all just fine.
That's a useful eye. Really, to take the conversation out into we're going to grab some water and some snacks and come back, though. Myvote.wi.gov. If these are concerns of yours as far as the environment you live in, our landscape, our preserving our natural resources and our own health, go there, talk to your lawmakers, and make sure they understand and they vote in the way that protects us. So, sorry to turn this into a political thing, but we got to raise our voices to let them know we care.
We're going to continue our conversation with David Drake with UW-Madison. We're talking about butterflies on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is David Drake from UW-Madison. We were talking about PFAS in ducks, and I just want to share this real briefly, David, from Ronnie in Horicon. And again, you don't have to comment on this, but one substitute for PFAS in firefighting foam is foam made from soybeans, which is an alternative. And so we'll see if we can track that down. Maybe we can get a hint from Darren Von Ruden when we have him on Wednesday.
Lord knows we need to sell some soybeans in this country.
It'd be good to have a use for soybeans right now. Yes.
I need to go back to something Greg said about vote.wisconsin.gov or whatever.
Myvote.wi.gov.
Yeah, I appreciate that greatly. I just need to mention, I need to be agnostic because I'm representing the University of Wisconsin today.
Of course.
So I just want to say, leave me out of that.
Absolutely.
I support what you're saying.
That was a bipartisan statement to say, let your voices be heard.
Yes. No, I love it. But I was going to mention the same thing about soybeans, Greg.
Yeah. I'm not plugging a political party. I just noticed I got a lot of soybeans to sell, friends.
They're available. Yeah. Is all we're saying. I wanted to talk with you briefly, David. I saw an article that said that monarch butterflies are on the move. They have started their migration. And for people who don't know this, they have an astonishingly long trip.
Yes, they do. And as a matter of fact, I was just out on Friday at a friend's prairie out west of Madison, and the monarchs galore out there, just taking advantage of the prairie plants.
Really?
And it was wonderful to see them. Yeah, the monarchs are awesome. I mean, they're, you know, obviously a butterfly. We don't consider them wildlife. We don't typically think of insects in the wildlife world. But again, I know enough about monarchs to be dangerous, so I'll espouse about monarchs. And they are awesome. That, you know, that yes, the migration pattern is fantastic. One of the things that I greatly appreciate about monarchs is it's one of the species that it seems like everybody knows them.
Yes.
Everybody can relate to them.
Mm-hmm. Identify them.
Just, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like a robin or, you know, a whale or whatever the case might be. And that to me is what is more important than anything else about the monarchs, is that people can see them and then they can localize it and they can personalize it. And they say, well, I'm not seeing as many monarchs this year. And so that opens an avenue for saying, well, climate change is affecting the monarchs,
yep,
or the lack of prairie is affecting the monarchs,
and milkweed.
We're having less milkweed and all that kind of stuff. And so, so that's what I greatly appreciate about the monarchs, is it's a hook to start talking to the public about why should you care about the outdoor world and what can you do then about that? And that is a wonderful thing about the monarchs,
well,
among many other things,
because monarchs are pollinators. Like,
yes,
like, yep, so many other insects are pollinators, yep, and that's why it's important, if you can, to have native plants in your backyard, especially milkweed. Milkweed is very specific, mm-hmm, to monarchs. That's the only thing that they will lay their eggs on.
You looked at me with with the eyes of confirmation. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to go with it.
I saw a monarch butterfly once, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. They told me in graduate school just to BS with authority and nobody questions. So just keep doing that. And
say it like you believe it and you know what
you're
talking about, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And again, you know, I know enough about monarchs to be dangerous, but there's been a tremendous amount of research about monarchs and just what's called patch size. So how big of an area of blooming flowers do they need to sustain themselves, to continue on the migration, things like that. And there's some suggestion that even small patches of flowering plants, in some ways boulevard in the city,
oh, really,
might be enough to, mm-hmm, you know, where the monarchs can find some refuge there, set down for a minute on their migration pattern, or set down and feed, and even during the summer and things like that. So it's interesting that maybe the monarchs don't need these great big expanses of prairie like you know, was initially thought, that they may actually survive okay on some of these smaller plots, yeah, which is pretty cool. And again, you know, we see them here in Madison now, moving through as well, and it's awesome to see a monarch.
They're going to Mexico, right? The monarchs,
yeah,
are heading,
yeah,
to Mexico.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the monarchs who make it to Mexico, David, and then overwinter there, are they the same ones that come back?
Let's go with that. I don't know. I don't know.
Is PJ Leash down the street?
He's just down the corner from me. He's just down the hall, as a matter of fact.
I just saw you froze. You're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. If you wanted to put him on. I don't know about that. What I will tell you about migratory birds is that, yes, it can be the same bird that will come back in that area. But I also do know that migratory birds, depending on the species and depending on the year, that they can suffer some pretty heavy mortalities.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity or the chance or odds are that it probably is not necessarily that same monarch that's coming back.
That's a long trip, boy.
You have such little wings.
I know. You know, I go and run. I try to run 3 miles sometimes. I'm thinking, if I can't run 3 miles and a monarch is flying that long, what the heck's wrong with me? Maybe I should start drinking more coffee.
No, that'll.
Well,
fix
if you just run
you.
To Mexico once and run back, be like, they're like, are you going for run? No, I did it back in 1992. I'm good.
David Drake is with UW Madison. He is my bird buddy. I really appreciate your time, David. Thank you so very, very much.
Always good to be on with all of you, and thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, it is Audio Sorbet, mm-hmm, and we're talking about your coffee habits. Maybe you're like David Drake. You don't even touch the stuff. Maybe you're like some of the texts that we're getting in, and you've got fancy ways to coffee. That's all coming up. Stick around for Audio Sorbet. News is next. Keep it here on the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Sholly Pittman, filling in for Jimmy Cuska. Republican state lawmakers say they want to revitalize the forest industry in northern Wisconsin with a new biofuel plant in Hayward. A new bill would provide $60 million in tax credits and $150 million in state bonding to build the facility. The plant would be a partnership between Wisconsin-based Johnson Timber and Syntec Fuels, a German energy company. Senator Mary Falzkowski says the project could create about 150 jobs and generate over $1 billion in annual economic impact. The facility would convert 880,000 tons of wood residue into aviation fuel every year, with at least 80% of that wood coming from Wisconsin forests. Lawmakers say the bill would also improve forest management. They point to a drop in timber harvests since the 2020 closure of the Wisconsin Rapids paper mill. If approved, production could begin in 2029. And the Republican race for governor grew, then shrunk last week. Republican businessman Bill Berrien dropped out of the race on Friday afternoon. It came a day after he canceled his appearance at a GOP picnic in Manitowoc. That followed after he was found to have been following explicit social media accounts, according to reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Meanwhile, Republican frontrunner GOP candidate Tom Tiffany announced his race last week Wednesday at a barn in Wausau. Tiffany is a former dam tender and state legislator during the Walker administration. He's recently gotten the support of Congressman Tony Weed, along with the Wisconsin College Republicans and College Republicans of America. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at lacrosseeagle.com or civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions and keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Catherine Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, more the same, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we move on, we do have a clarification from Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman.
Yes, Sholly was on earlier in the first hour talking about data centers, and there's going to be a meeting in Caledonia regarding data centers. We spoke about an open records request relating to
water usage.
But also in the matter of Caledonia. So I'm going to read exactly what she said.
Sure.
While there was a delay with the announcement of Microsoft being behind the Caledonia data center, the open records case related to the data center in Mount Pleasant, the city of Racine did release records to Midwest Environmental Advocates.
Okay.
It's very important for all of us, especially not just Charlie as a news person, but us being news adjacent.
Yes.
To be very, very on key, very on point,
and accurate.
And make those distinctions and those corrections. So she asked us to read that, and we did. It had been corrected, so you're fully informed. Please, if you live in Mount Pleasant, anywhere that's looking to get a data center, make yourself aware. They're doing a hard push via the lobbying, making it sound great. There are conversations that can be had. But if it concerns you, talk to your elected officials.
Absolutely. And if they're having meetings about it, I would highly encourage you to go to any meetings about this. And the mining meeting that they're going to have in northern Wisconsin as well. That's something that I think folks who live up there need to get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
It is the time of the show that we like to call Audio Sorbet.
What happens at Audio Sorbet?
We get away from the news. We take a break, take a breath, and talk about something else.
We clean your ears with fun.
As we say here on Matinair on Air.
Is that too loud? I feel like I'm doing it right into the microphone. I mean, that voice that just runs in that does that. I don't know who it was. It was a person.
He just comes. He shoves his way in.
And he leaves a sandwich every time. It's great.
So Audio Sorbet today. Today is National Coffee Day. Didn't know that. National Coffee Day. So we want to talk about your coffee habits. Do you drink coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't.
Maybe you're like David Drake, who's never had a hot beverage in his life.
He doesn't do hot beverages.
He's never had cocoa?
He was a deprived child.
Oh, we need to. Okay.
Should we send him some?
Let's get him some cocoa, people. I'll even spring for the little marshmallows.
Do you drink coffee? How much coffee do you drink? And now the coffee prices are already up 20%. Mm-hmm. 20%. Will you be changing your coffee habits? 855-752-4842. That's our question for you today during Audio Sorbet. We're talking coffee. How much you drink? How do you drink it? And will you change your habits now that coffee prices are on the rise? Wanted to share this from Robert from La Crosse, listening on WLCX. He texted in much earlier. He said, I drink only black tea.
Okay.
So, and there's a lot of caffeine in tea. So if you're looking for some coffee substitute, tea is not a bad way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, tea is great. I mean, if you're the Ted Lasso type who thinks it's just hot brown water, I get that too. Actually, a really good one for antioxidants. Wow, people are calling it with opinions.
Yes.
Really good for antioxidants, white tea.
I have never even heard of white tea.
Very, very good. Very, yeah, antioxidants galore.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like tea. Mm. I really like tea. I always tell myself to drink more tea, and then I don't. Even though I have all the contraptions that allow me to make a convenient cup of tea in my home, and I just do not. Because, and I will admit this, I don't want to engender this with an insult. I'm a baby coffee drinker, I'll say that. I don't drink black coffee. I drink sweetened coffees.
Yep.
I use sweetened creamers, and I do not enjoy the taste of a black cup of coffee. It's very, don't come at me with your.
Todd Alva would dispute that.
But that's the thing is when we went on our trip, the three of us, he did make wonderful coffee, and I did drink, and the good stuff when made correctly can have less bitterness and all that stuff. And I imbibed it. But me, I'm like, I'm going to have a sweet creamer because I want to taste it like a shake, you know?
How do you consume your coffee is our audio sorbet question. Isaac from Baraboo texted in, I drink 1 to 2 cups of coffee a day with a French press.
Oh.
I used to buy single origin ground coffee from a high-end brand, but now with the current coffee prices, I buy fair trade from my local grocery store. Thanks for that, Isaac. Appreciate it. How do you coffee?
Throw us your suggestions. If you got local good companies that you like, send them our way. We always want to know about them. And you were talking about the prices going up, and I'm not here to dunk on anyone, but there's a certain coffee company that is the color of coffee, a gun and company. I'm not going to say them out loud, but you can figure it out. But they were very much Trump supporters, and they were like, we're not going to raise our prices a single bit because we source from all over the world, not just Colombia.
How's that going?
Well, they are raising their prices as of this fall. And that sucks because, one, they have to do that. Two, you kind of have to eat your words. So I feel like instead of coming hard for it all, realize that these tariffs are going to affect us. I don't mean to get, I'm sorry, no, it's sorbet, but that's an important point of this coffee price thing. It affects your kitchen table economy.
Well, tariffs are affecting all of us.
Even though we don't pay for them, guys.
We are talking coffee. How do you coffee? It is National Coffee Day at 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, you were first in. Good morning, Troy. Let's talk coffee.
Good morning. My earliest memories ever, we're sitting with my grandma. She used to drink Folgers Instant.
Oh, ugh.
She had a little, and this was in the 70s now.
Yep.
I'm like 3 or 4, and we used to have peanut butter toast for breakfast with coffee, and she used to boil the water in this little pan or little pot that she only had for boiling water, and we used to dunk our toast in it with a lot of condensed milk and sugar.
That sounds like my kind of cup of coffee.
Ever since. And I'm only 5'8", so maybe that had something to do with it.
You would have been 6'4", otherwise, Troy, you would have been so much taller. Do you remember, were the Folger crystals the ones with the sparkly ones?
Yes. Absolutely.
Because my mother used to do that.
And I
was fascinated with the sparkles in the instant coffee.
That was a selling point back in the day too. They were like Folger crystals. I'm like, those are the moments as a kid. I don't know about you, Troy, or you, Jane, or anybody listening. Those were like one of those moments in my tiny kid brain where I said to myself, "This sounds stupid. Like, why do we care if you're." Because it was pretty. Exactly. They just want to make your coffee look
sparkly.
Drinkable.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Troy. Really appreciate that. Brought back a lot of memories. My mother drank Folgers. That instant.
We had Folgers Instant. We had the big pot. And then the big can. And then when the can was done, we'd use that for oil from cooking. We'd put all of the oil in there.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Anytime someone mentions the word Sanka, someone says, I'll take a cup of Sanka. Usually it's as a joke or it's an old movie. It makes me laugh so hard because it's such a deep 70s, 80s reference to me.
Yes.
That to hear it in 2025, like, I'll take a cup of Sanka. Really?
Well, and I just find it so interesting that they actually convinced the public that these coffee granules were better than the actual thing.
What do you mean?
That coffee granules are more authentic than an actual coffee bean. Because that's what they convinced the public. Buy these coffee crystals instead of buying regular coffee.
I thought it was coffee with crystals in them.
No. They're coffee crystals.
Oh, because
it's instant coffee.
My apologies. We're all about truth and advertising and news here. My parents did not do instant Folgers. We did Folgers drip.
Oh, okay.
In the big canister.
Different thing.
But instant coffee I never made a successful instant cup of hot cocoa or anything in my life. You always had to put more and more and more. And I feel like instant coffee is just going to be like, it's chewy.
Well, and it was there's a very specific taste to it. And I think that kind of played into the whole 60s, 70s space food sticks and all of that stuff in the instantaneous. There was this big, we have to, it's got to be a I'm a miracle thing.
This coffee tastes like flying cars.
855-752-4842. How do you coffee? Maybe you don't. And are you going to cut back now that coffee prices are already up 20%? Al from Campbellsport is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's talk coffee.
Yeah, good morning. Enjoy their show.
Thank you.
I make a 30-cup percolator pot of coffee. And that lasts me probably a week.
Okay. So that's...
And I like Colombian.
Yeah.
Colombian flavor, that's my best, but...
So, do you drink... So you pre-make all your coffee, and you drink it through the week. For you, and I'll ask you, Jane, and anyone else listening, when is your cutoff? You're like, I can't drink it after 2 p.m., or I can't drink it after noon. I got to, like, I know people who drink coffee at 8 o'clock at night. Don't understand those psychopaths.
Too.
But
yeah.
but do you have a cutoff then for you? Like, you parse it out, like, 5 cups a day or 6 cups a day, and then you're done by a certain time?
Yeah, right. Probably around 8 o'clock, I quit, and then I drink water or bubbler. I drink bubbler. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I haven't heard of that.
I like that. Wild cherry, that's really good.
Yeah, it's like a
fizzy water.
Fizzy water, yeah, it's tasty. That's interesting. 8 o'clock, okay. Okay, that's good. That's good though, Al. I'm glad you followed it up with you drink water then too, because I think that's another important thing. I know when I haven't had enough water after coffee because my mouth is dry, I can't.
It's
very dehydrating. But it's so delicious. Al, thank you so much for calling. Jane, you're a pretty regular coffee drinker.
I've gone back and forth. When I was in college, that's when I started. I never drank coffee before until I got into college. And then I stopped for a really long time. And then when I moved to Milwaukee and started at the radio station and I was working overnights, then I really hit coffee hard.
Yeah.
And that was when I found if I didn't drink it on weekends, I would get crushing headaches. Crushing.
Yes.
Just really debilitating headaches.
I did not.
Caffeine is a very, very powerful drug.
It's addictive. People drink it. And I did not start drinking coffee until I was 38. And I don't even remember why I decided then.
Because you wanted to stop growing.
I wanted to stop growing. Yeah, I'd be like 8'12" right now.
He'd be 11 feet tall.
Exactly. I couldn't even fit in the room. But now if I quit, it's because I'm quitting sugar, not because I'm quitting coffee.
Andrew from Maine texting in, how I coffee with iced tea. I've tried coffee a few times, never developed the taste for it. I do not see a point in drinking sugar unless it's in chocolate milk. Fair enough, Andrew. And Ollie from the Northwoods, you're going to wrap it up for us, Ollie, on this audio survey. How do you coffee?
Well, when we were kids, we didn't coffee. We weren't allowed. Mm. We had tea and toast for breakfast with canned milk. But when we came back to the States then and visited, we always went to my mom's relatives, and there was always a big, huge, huge enamel pot of coffee on the wood stove, filled with coffee grounds and some eggs, maybe.
Eggshells. Yep, eggshells in the coffee.
Yep.
Ollie, we're running out of time. I'm so sorry to cut you off. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really, really appreciated
that.
Wraps up today's audio survey. Coming up next, we're going to wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Cover Me edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Serve some coffee with a cruller. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee. A great big pot of coffee.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Call or text. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow on the show, our friend and colleague, travel companion, Todd Allbaugh will be here.
Oh, man, I'm going to wear another Brewers jersey. I know he has this style. The you can't see it if you're not watching the live stream, but we have matching Brewers jerseys.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
You got compliments on your jersey, by the way, earlier this morning. Mm-hmm.
It's a custom made with my dad's name on the back. It's awesome.
Oh, very nice.
But I can't wait to talk to Todd. He's great.
Todd's going to be joining us, and then Kelda Royce.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
State Senator Kelda Royce joining us in hour number 2.
Will be speaking to us about her bid for governor's race. The governor's race. She announced a couple weeks ago.
A couple weeks.
Todd's show. Mm-hmm. And she is going to be on with us talking about what, you know, the campaign trail and what she's going to bring to the table. I think that, I mean, we spoke to Dan Schaefer about this. I think that the Democratic side right now has a dynamic group of individuals with a lot of great energy. So it's going to be interesting to see how they campaign against each other, but also just what they, you know, it's a highly, I'm sorry to say the word, diverse lineup on the Democratic side for governor. So
yeah, it should be interesting. Kelda Royce, state senator, joining us tomorrow in hour number 2. So I hope you can join us for that. Just a reminder as well that our multi-state text win going for the green and gold contest is underway. All this week, this is the second and final week of the contest. In order to enter, you have to have the Civic Media app.
How do I do that, Jane?
Go to your app store.
Oh.
Google Play, for example?
I am an Android boy.
All right. Well, then whatever you do for Androids.
Go, it's the same thing you do.
Okay, go there. And then look for Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C. Download the Civic Media app. You have to have it again to enter the Text to Win contest. Tom Hartman, next hour, will have the next keyword for you. And then again in the 1 o'clock hour, mm-hmm. in the 3 o'clock hour with Todd, 5 o'clock hour with Maggie Dawn, 7 o'clock hour with Pete Schwabba, up for grabs every day, $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And everybody who enters is in the drawing for the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats.
Yeah.
To see Green Bay and Minnesota, November 23rd, noon game. Gas card to get you there and back. It's a great prize.
It's an absolutely great prize. So get the Civic Media app in your life and stay tuned for the next keyword coming up at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock with Tom Hartman.
Yeah.
Calvin, it is 10:55. We are way late. It's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from Christopher Harris on CBS News. He has the byline. The headline reads, police arrest a kelp man accused of stealing more than 90 manhole covers. DeKalb County Police arrested Kalen Watley earlier this month on charges of theft of government property. Since September 2nd, police say there have been 5 incidents involving the theft of at least 91 manhole covers. Those are really heavy.
I bet you Kalen's a big person.
He must be.
Working out.
Investigators say they finally got a break in the case when a witness... I know. When a witness in Rockdale County recorded 2 men removing manhole covers, placing them into a 2020 Nissan and driving away, they identified the owner, linked him to other thefts, and then later did a traffic stop where Watley was arrested. He is charged with 8 counts of theft of government property with additional charges likely. I want to know the motive.
It may be just a big old fat case of because.
Is there, I mean, can you resell manhole covers?
I mean, can you melt them down? Can you, I mean, art, I have no idea. This is what I'm thinking right now, is that it said in the story that there was recorded evidence of 2 men stealing the
manhole cover.
Manhole covers. Mm-hmm. And I want to imagine it was sent to the police, and one of the more junior officers said to maybe like a lieutenant, and they said, do you think these are our guys? And the lieutenant goes, yeah, I think that's our guys.
Because we got them on video?
Yeah. I don't really think this isn't an underground syndicate.
We're never going to crack this case.
Yeah, exactly.
We're never going to crack it.
Oh, that's my cousin, Leroy. Okay, great. This one is just like, I don't even, honestly, Jane, it sounds like a compulsion. Like you guys steal something.
I want to follow up on this.
Yeah.
Because I am genuinely curious what you do with 91 manhole covers.
Maybe we can get Kalen on the show.
Could be an art project. Who knows? That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching in the stream. It means the world, genuinely. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it.
I just want to remind people, sign up for Civic Media today, because it's the free newsletter, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Get it in your inbox every day, daily roundups. Live a good life. Jane, you're awesome. You always end the show with such kind words. You're awesome and amazing and wonderful. And without you, it's just on air.
That's truth. Blank on air. Thank you for that,
Greg. People think it's a cuss word.
That makes me feel so special. Have a wonderful day. News next, followed by Tom Hartman. Be ready for the keyword that's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says there's really nothing to discuss when it comes to a looming government shutdown because Republicans already have a clean resolution on the table. Democrats are refusing to go along with it until funding is restored for government subsidies that help millions pay for health insurance through the marketplaces. Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries minutes ago said,
"This is a five-alarm fire in terms of the Republican-caused health care crisis. And that's why Democrats are determined to turn things around."
Republicans obviously disagree with that. Democratic and Republican leaders meeting with President Trump this afternoon. The president meeting this hour with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on ending the war in Gaza. A missile attack by Yemen's Houthi rebels sending a ship ablaze in the Gulf of Aden today. Still looking for a motive in the Michigan shooting and fire set by the gunman who killed at least four people south of Flint, Michigan. This is ABC News.